Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm on SAP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, Hannah, join us. We have a talk guest every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone dial at 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web if you have a Chrome browser. And go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can listen to us and interact with us on the YouTube live stream. There is a chat window there, so I can see what you're talking about. Though, obviously, if there's other chatters, they're mainly over on the TalkShoe. That, of course, they really almost require you to have a Chrome browser, which is annoying. But anyhow, and if you need to contact me, you can send me an email at sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. And if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. We have, of course, the sfuoncall. That's sfuoncall. My personal account called Paul Franz. It's PaulFranz. And to go find that, just go to Twitter at twitter.com/PaulFranz. And of course, my business account for Franz Games is Franz Games. Wow, that was shocking. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned into a podcast and available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole was busy working on Capsule Log number 53, the blogs, of course, the Star List. Star List is still active, so you want to try to find someone close to you. Also, the Gorn Master Starship book, he's been doing some art for that, and of course, Shapeways. Steve Petrick is busy working on SAP updates and also the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene's been busy working on, of course, uploading the ships for Shapeways and make sure they're all ready to be released, which there was, a release on March 1st, which was last week. Got that right? Yeah, last week. Oh, I'm confused. I'm sorry. And, of course, keeping the spammers away from the discussion board and also managing the Facebook page. Lord knows there's a lot of people there, and that keeps her plenty busy. And, of course, she also took care of the customers. And, of course, since we already passed the first of the month, new miniatures have been released. We have the Klingon FT-7. You got Yamatrian. I hope I pronounced that right. Dagger Frigate. The Warb Frigate, the Warb Dreadnought, the Vudar War Frigate, the Vudar Dreadnought, the Higher Heavy Dreadnought, the Sigvarian Invasion Frigate, the Sigvarian Invasion Cruiser, the Hydran Apache Medium Command Cruiser, and the Hydran Comanche Medium Command Cruiser, the Hydran Pegasus V Carrier, the Orion Medium Raider, the Andromedan Carba, Dominator, Viper, and Intruder, the IC Battleship, and the Lyran, and LDR, Java, Tiger. Moving on, we're to the SAP Online tournaments. We have the Masters Tournament. That hasn't had any progress there. But, Rad 48, we do have progress. Round 4, that Civil War that I mentioned last week. Well, guess what? King Zilla is the victor and advances to the finals. Now, here's the fun part. Okay, so we now have a round 4 game. So round 3 is completed. Round 4 game is Devil, it's Majid Farsi, in the WAX, Wind Auxiliary Battlecruiser, versus Grimm, and I forget Grimm's actual name. And guess what? He's flying. He's flying the Hydran. So what could possibly happen? We killing Zillow, might have to face another do another Hydran civil war, which would be that's one way to make sure that the Hydran gets a rated ace. Yikes! Moving on onward and forward. When it comes to library report, there's been no progress, and that's due to me. I apologize. Frank sent me some more Paladine conversions. He sent me 10 of them. I have yet to actually process them and upload them. I should be doing that this weekend. So the conversions still stick at 2,444, yet to be converted to 881, with the percentage complete being at 73.5. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, I'm one of the only Apollo friends, are welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Drew, and hopefully other people will show up. That would be fantastic. If not, then you got me. Hey, which is, if you're listening to this, most probably the reason why you're listening to this is because of me. Otherwise, you are definitely a masochist. Okay. I mean that you enjoyed it, because if you don't enjoy it, then you're a masochist, okay? So, get back to the point. The topics for this evening, I was going to start out with something which is... The first topic for this evening is about fighting in Andromedans. I'm going to start with tournament, and I think I'll probably cover some additional fleet stuff. I should have time enough to cover some fleet tactics too against the Andromedans. Not for playing Andromedans, but playing against them, because I feel like a lot of people don't want to play against Andromedans because they don't know how to handle them. In some cases, I think they do not how to handle them. In some cases. That's weird, Drew. Drew's just saying that he's trying to escape. The dial pad doesn't seem to work to enter the show ID, which is weird because it works fine for me. The only thing you have to do when it comes to entering the show ID is you have to make sure you do it nice and slow. And also you have to have a decent connection, because sometimes the connection, even I have problems with that. Tonight I got a good connection, so I didn't have a problem. But anyhow, I feel like for the Andromedans, that a lot of people don't like to play against them because they don't know how to handle them. Some people don't like to play against them, not because they don't know how to handle them. It's just that they are really annoyed that the Andromedans are so different from every other ship they've ever flown. So it's not like they can actually stick to their same old tactics the way they fly their ship. And just modify things minorly. Okay, so I'm flying against a direct fire. Okay, fine, but do this. Oh, I'm flying against a seeking weapon race. Okay, modify this. Okay, it's a plasma versus a drone. Okay, do this. If it's drone versus plasma, do this. Minor modifications to the overall tactics of the player. Versus Andromedans. You have to have a whole different attitude towards the Andromedans. Because it's the biggest thing, obviously, and if you ever played against the Andromedans or you played the Andromedans, the hugest change of anything is the defensive system. And of course, the defensive system is a great benefit to the Andromedans and also a great hindrance to the Andromedans. It can be both, believe it or not. Because, why it's a great hindrance to the Andromedans is one of the things that, at least for me as an Andromedan player, who plays a lot of it, my game's flying the Andromedan, that is, I am constantly... most of the time, a good 85% of my time, I am worrying about how do I get rid of this energy that's in my panels. Because especially with the current tournament ships, the biggest issue is that they're, unlike the original Andromedan tournament ship, You cannot. It's really, really difficult to do a panel dump. Now, Paul Scott hasn't, to my knowledge, hasn't played SCP for a while. But when he was playing SCP, he was always saying, oh, yeah, the Andromeda should be put down to two batteries for the Terminus ship. And to this day, I will disagree vehemently against that just because of it's bad enough. It's hard enough with only three batteries in the Andromeda to do any kind of semblance of a panel dump at all. I understand four is... It's difficult, but not so hard that it produces that much the biggest problem. The reason why that is real simple. The rear panels are the real gotcha. Because of the rear panels, when you've got all four, if you got the rear panels, let's say full, completely full. That's four panels, and then if you have them full, that means the reinforced levels, that's four. That's 10 per. But if you the difference between reinforced and standard is four. So that means 16. Okay, great. No problem. You can 16 points. Now, here's the problem. With three batteries, you can't dump 16 points. You only can dump 15 points. So... if you ever get your rear panels full, if you ever get the Andromedan's rear panels full, he cannot dump for that turn. He has to wait for the next turn to be able to toggle his panels from reinforced down to standard, so then that amount of power will flow from his rear panels into the batteries. That assumes, of course, that his front panels are turned off completely. That's the only way that will work at all. Now, if there's any, of course, there's the problem. If there's any power in the front panels, then you have to do the whole energy, floating thing, and which makes it even more difficult. Because here's the thing, that means that the Andromeda has to drop his front panels before the end of the turn. Here's why: because if you do it after the end of the turn, what happens for that power that's in the front panels? If there's any energy left at the beginning of the turn, if there's any energy left at the beginning of the turn. And you turn off those front panels, it goes to the rear. Now, after it goes to the rear, it fills up the rear. It has a possibility of filling up those rear panels. It's a rare case that it won't. Okay? In which case, if it fills up the rear panels, then the Andromeda can no longer do a panel dump because he only has three batteries. So... Because there's 16 points of power because of the degradation is actually the degradation starts at the bottom and goes up. It's not the opposite. It's not that it takes it off the top, it takes it off the bottom. So given that takes it off the bottom, that means no matter what, until the actual degradation goes greater than the actual standard level, which is 6 points, you have to always get 16 points of power out, which means you always have to do some dissipating. One way to get rid of that is dissipation. For the rear panel, of the rear panels itself, so that you actually can do the toggling from reinforcements down to standard level, in which case it will then push it into the batteries. See, this is the difficult part. with the current Andromedans. If it had four batteries, just four, then it could actually more easily actually do the whole panel dump thing because of the rear panels. That is the key there. Now, there's been some discussions, at least with me, and I think I talked to Barry about it, and some other people about alternate Andromedan ships. And to me, if you were so concerned about the panel dump, yes, there is one solution that could happen for that, and that is you only have two batteries, so that the Andromeda can't just keep a lot of power. But then you need to give it an energy module. Now, of course, being tournament, you can tweak that energy module so slightly. You know, it could be 10 points, it could be 15, it could be 12, it could be 13, it could be 14. Because it's tournament, that doesn't exist in real life. You know, it doesn't really exist as part of the game, really. It's just part of the tournament, which is, it's a specialized little tweak. It's not a new weapon system. It's not a new type of weapon. It's just tweaking how much energy can be stored into the energy module. The idea being, in my mind, is that if you want to limit the number of panel dumps that Andromeda can do, because you can't say, no, the Andromeda can't do any panel dumps, because of, let's be honest here, the Andromedan has a total of 100 boxes in the entire ship. 100 boxes. Now, let's compare that to a normal size class 1 ship. You've got 90 points in the front half. 90 points of damage. Rear, you've got 72. So you've got over 162 points of damage that could be done against all the shielding of that ship. And that's even including around the same, if you want to do a decent comparison, which is the Orion, that's around the same when it comes to the number of internals. It's close. And compare this to, and okay, that's 60. 60 points of damage is a lot of damage. Anyone will tell you. And of course, the Andromeda has that issue, which is, it's not just one shield. One shield, the shield angle. You know, 30 degrees. We're talking about here 180 degrees. Actually, is it 30 degrees or 60 degrees? I think it's 60 degrees. But anyhow. But so you can hit it on multiple angles. So it's like taking that shield. You want to make it equivalent? Okay, fine. We'll give that. Each of the cruisers can now have a 60-point shield up front, but it's going to be 180 degrees. Would you take that? I truly would like to know anyone who actually would take that. I understand that. Oh, yes, I got a 60-point shield. Yes, great. That'd be fantastic. Yes. Now, you can't hide against a single shield anymore. You can't say, oh, okay, now I can fly, because you're normally, shield number 6 is down. Oh, no problem. I'll focus on shield number 1 and number 2, just make sure I don't bring that side of the ship up to bear against my opponent. No problem. Yeah, but with a 60-point shield that's 180 degrees, okay, the first volley is not going to get through. Second volley might get through. Third volley will get through. But you will have no place to hide. So, which one do you want? So, anyhow, get back to tactics. Sorry, I went down the intro. I stay mostly on topic there. But anyhow, so what does that mean to you as a player? That means that basically, obviously, you want to give the Andromedas as much energy as possible. Does it have to be in the rear? No, it does not. Because in fact, here's the gotcha on the rear panels. Because if you focus on the rear panels and he is able to move around so his front panels are facing you, he can doesn't have to drop his front panels. I mean, back, rear panels. He can bring them down to standard level from reinforced. 16 points go from the front to the, from the back to the front. What does that mean? That can mean he can dissipate more energy. So instead of dissipating only 4 points, he can dissipate 10 points now. Now, is it more likely you're going to get an internals? Yes, it is. If you can get a really close shot at the rear panel, should you take it? Yes, you should. But see here, this is why I bring this up. One of the deadliest ships, sorry, that's not ships, let's say weapons against Andromedan is the Hellbore. Because of what does the Hellbore do? The energy from the Hellbore weapon, you know, the damage from the Hellbore weapon is allocated not just to one shield, it's allocated to in this case, panels. It's not allocated just to one panel. It's allocated to both panels. Which means that if someone fills up both panels, the Andromedan is... Hola, Russ. If you get the energy of the Andromedan, the panels are full of energy, it's like having almost no shields. When it comes to a regular ship. Now, obviously, he can get some stuff out of that. Can he do a panel dump? No, he cannot. No matter what, he can't do a panel dump. The only thing he can do is slowly drain the energy out of his panels. That's all he can do. Because if you fill up those front panels, what do you have? You have a minimum of 24 points of power. That's the difference between standard and reinforcement and reinforced levels. Where is that going to go? Really? If you just fill up the front panels, okay, if you bring it down to standard level, okay, that means that the rear panel is now full at standard level. Which means none of the energy actually goes anywhere. Because remember, okay, just a reminder for those people who don't actually know how the PA panels rules work. The way energy flows, when energy is released from one set of panels, it will go, in the case of ships, it's pretty obvious, it just goes to the from the front to the rear to the front. Whichever one. The point of energy is released, assuming that it can't be absorbed within that panel itself. You know, a way of releasing energy is degradation. If you get at one point of degradation, it actually releases the energy that's in that panel. So that it is possible in the case of a full panel. If you get internals to an Andromedan, you know, if it's full panels, you get and you fire like let's say a phaser, you get 3 points of damage. Twos are internals, one is absorbed as degradation. Now, that 1 point of energy, where does it go? Now it all depends. If it's let's say that it's a rear panel, then that 1 point of energy will then float to the front panels. It'll be released because the rear panels are full. They'll be released and go to the front panels. Now, the front panels will fold, then it has the opportunity to go to the batteries. Now, here's the thing. Before it gets to the batteries, if it had an energy module, then it would go to the energy module first before it goes to the batteries. Okay? So, keep that in mind. And now, of course, if it doesn't have any room in the batteries, then it becomes an internal. You know, and that's why, and of course, there's a number one rule for the Andromedas, which is they cannot inflict damage on themselves. I.e., if they can energize their panels to the level they need to hold all the energy without causing damage to themselves, the Andromeda must do it. That is the rule. The Andromeda cannot say, oh, you know, I can save myself three points of power if I don't charge the panels fully. But that's going to let go. That's going to release like 4 points of energy. And I don't have the batteries to hold that energy. That'd be internals. You can't do that. You know, it's one of those. To me, it always feels like a balance rule, because in theory, if you want to be suicidal, that's one way of doing it. Now, back in the day, way back in the Commander's Edition, you actually could do that. And Lord knows the Andromedan that blew up was a mighty big thing. Because here's the thing. That's a reminder for people who never played the Andromeda using the Commander's Edition of the rules. The Commander's Edition of the rules, this is how it went. If, let's say that, and you could, if you not fill the panels of a Andromeda, you knocked out like all the power so that at the beginning of the turn, it's gonna die because of all the energy in the panels are then gonna be absorbed as internals. So it's gonna blow up. Here's the fun part. Any panel energy that was left over would add to the strength of the explosion. So there was one time that I played the Desecrator Starbase, and it got the panels full, and we were playing with the old rules. So, to say at the very least, the strength of that explosion was really, really big. It was like a small sun that had just blown up. You know, it was that bright. You could actually see it from another galaxy. You know, it was that bright of an explosion. Which I thought was fun. Of course, I still remember when I played it and I had to do emergency displacement and emergency transports. I used every single, because it was one of those I forget what it's called. Dang, I can't believe it's been so long since I've actually used that rule, which is you get so much damage to your ship. Fleet battles, normal SFB, not the tournament, where you can call for basically an evacuation of the ship, you know, and so you can do certain things. You could actually have it so that you got so much damage, you can actually at that point call for this, and then things like you can launch your shuttles. You can all the stuff you can do, which normally you could not do out of phase, but you can do in this case. And I don't think Russ remembers, or Drew doesn't remember. Because if you guys remember what it was, please tell me, because I do not remember what that was called. But anyhow, that makes for real fun games. But anyhow, getting back to the panels. Okay, you get a full. The Andromeda's dead. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Obviously, the one thing you want to try to track as much as possible, forget energy usage overall. Should you? Yeah. If you can do it, do it. To me, the biggest thing you want to track is energy in and out of the panels. Is it possible that the panels can release that much energy into the batteries? That's the key. So that's also one thing you should be looking at when it comes to the panels, is that instead of passively waiting to see what the Andromeda player is going to do, you need to be thinking about what can the Andromeda player do when it comes to toggling the panels. Can he toggle the panels to release the energy? Basically, you have to get into the Andromeda player's head when it comes to managing that energy. Because that's the one thing he's going to be focusing on. You should know, have at least have an idea of what he can do. And what, because there are going to be times when the Andromeda player, what he's going to have to do is do something which he would really like to avoid doing, which is actually dropping his panels to like standard level or dropping them all together. That's even worse. At least with standard panels, you still have what they call the tertiary shield, which is, as I mentioned before, if someone actually fires at the Andromeda, they stir and the panels are full. Those, it still gets the degradation, but the amount of damage that goes to the degradation goes to internals. The only time it actually might go to internals is if that point of power could not be actually absorbed by the Andromeda, by that ship. If it can, then no big deal. But if it can't actually absorb that energy, then it's going to be included as part of that volley. So you always want to keep an eye on that. Obviously, okay, because that's the panels is going to be your biggest thing you're going to focus on. Because, okay, the Andromeda, depending upon the ship, either will play with like two TRLs, two TR heavies, three TRLs. I forgot what the current official Andromeda is. It's been quite a long time since I've actually looked to see what the official Andromeda is. I'm just going to see if I can find it real quickly. Let's see if I can find it on the website. Don't mind me. Okay, I don't see it right off the top of my head. Let me just go back one thing, which is, let's go to site map and tournament files. There it is. And let's go to the Andromeda. Aha. They only have the playtest version that's not sanctioned. This is what they say. I think actually, let me see what it is. Yeah, it's three TRLs. I think that's what the current one is. No, it doesn't look right because it has four batteries. I might have to look at the actual client because it's been a while. But Can he do it? Yeah. Can depending upon the way the Andromeda player is going to play, there's two ways he can actually, when it comes to actually attacking you. This is not the passive and the focusing on the PA panels, because that's the thing is, to me, the reason why you really need to understand the PA panels is because that's, I think, the people's greatest fear. That's what people don't like the most, is because of the way the PA panels works. But Andromeda players don't like it all that much either. If the ship doesn't have enough batteries. If they have enough batteries, they love it. You know, because the original, back in the day, Andromeda tournament cruiser had 6 batteries. 6 batteries. That means it could easily do panel dumps at a whim. 60 points of energy. Sorry, that'd be 30 points of energy. Keep forgetting. But still, 30 points of energy. That's an easy, you can dump all the energy that's in the rear panels. That's 16. You can even do a panel dump on the front panels. You can go from reinforced to standard and empty all that energy, all 24 points of energy, all that points, 24 points of damage into the batteries, and whoop, all of a sudden the Andromeda has a good shield. This is one of the things that people found really annoying with the Andromedans. Well, the thing is, if they don't have the batteries, they don't have the protection. So that's why people always said, oh, we got to slow it down. We got to give it less weapons. No, that is not the answer. As Paul Scott pointed out many years ago, back in Origins, that is not the solution. The solution, let it have its TR heavies and its 6 phaser 2s. Let it have all that. That's not going to solve anything. You cut back on the batteries, you cut back on its defense. That is where, and also it cuts, when you cut back on the batteries, you cut back on its speed. I mean, even with the original, let me think, I'm just trying to remember this. It was 24, 4, and 4. 24, 4, and 4 makes it 32 points of power. Even with 32 points of power, and even if you want to, okay, let's go crazy. Let's go back to the original ones, which the 32 points of power. You know, four of that was AWRs, because of they wanted to make sure they keep the speed up while it still has to deal with using the Dizzy Dev, because the Dizzy Dev display device, for those don't know that term, the Dizzy Dev takes 2 points of power. 2 points of warp power. And so, instead of having APRs, it would be AWRs. Now, the problem is, people didn't, they're still, most people who wanted to neuter the Andromedan, they wanted to neuter it in a way that they're used to neutering. There's only one other ship I've ever seen where they've actually modified the defensive capabilities. And that is the Tholian. The Tholian Archeo, the Archeo Tholian cruiser. That's the only one. That's the only one. And originally that had 30 boxes all around. And they went, you know what? That's a little too rich. So they marked off, so it's 24 on the rears and 30 in the front. So, you know, that's the only time they ever minorly adjusted defensively. But they've always the answers for fixing the, for tournament cruisers has always been modify the weapons. And it's rare to modify the power. And once in a while, yeah, you increase the power. But mostly, it's you want to tone it back some. It's not like, okay, oh, you know what the thing is? You got to cut back on the amount of power it's got. No. Most people say, oh, instead of having, you know, 10 phaser ones, I'll have only 8 phaser ones. That's what they did for the Saltorian. So don't get me started on the Saltorian, because of, I still remember to this day, I was playing in a play-by-email tournament. I was playing the Andromedan. Now, this is before I actually knew how to fly the Andromedan and, you know, found out about all these wonderful tactics that you could do to actually do the panel dump. I never actually figured out how to do the panel dump. But I still won. I was still winning. But the biggest thing for me is, okay, they said, oh, the Saltorians need a little more oomph. What did they do? Without testing a change, they increased the phasers on the Saltorian from 8 to 10 phaser ones. 10 phaser ones. What's wrong with this picture? This is not like saying 10 phaser ones to the Gorn. Because the Gorn, you know what happened with the 10 phaser ones? You'd have phasers all pointing all over, you know, Cuttawampus, you know, all over the place. Because of it, you know, if that's the way it is. Well, Saltorian, excuse me, you have left side, right side, and front arc. That's it. So what do? They add it to the front arc. So to say at least, I got killed. And as soon as they realized, because it's a play-by-email tournament, which takes a lot longer than a face-to-face tournament, I got screwed in the middle, because we were playing that, okay, as you're playing the actual official ship. And the actual official ship changes in the middle of the tournament, you get to get the brand new ship. They got the brand new ship. Next round came along, and the Saltorian no longer had his nice modifications because people were screaming bloody murder. Oh, Lord have mercy. People were screaming bloody murder on that, and for good reason. But anyhow. So, okay, you want to talk about the offensive potential of the Andromedan? You know, Let's go with the worst case scenario that you're going to facing, at least in my mind, when it comes to offensive potential, is two TR heavies and then six phaser twos. That's the worst offensive potential. Is it the best one? No. I'd rather have 3 TRLs and 8 phaser 2s. That's what I'd rather have. You know why I'd rather have that? I'd rather have that so that the Andromedan then has the ability to actually fight off the Zinti. Because one of the big things that the Andromedan tournament cruiser always had the problem with, is the Zintis. And that is that they have enough fast drones so that they can have it so that you have to actually guess. You got enough phaser twos to guess which one of those lovely drones is the type fours. Because of I got enough phaser twos to kill 4 phaser ones, I mean, 4 type, either it's like 6 type fours or 4 type fours and one type four and 4 type ones or 6 type ones. Yeah, I can kill 6 type ones or 4 type ones and 1 type four in theory. Because remember, here's the one thing. With the phaser twos, you can't. There's not even guarantee you'll get a type one at range one, because of if you roll a 6 at 3 points of damage. So, with 8, I actually had a chance of actually killing all of the Zinti's drones, fast drones. So yes, that's why I like that version. Because it had better defensive capabilities. And, you know, and of course, also it had more offensive potential on its off turns. I.e., on those turns where it could not fire its TRs. So, you know, which one do you want to fight? Now, I still remember there were some suggestions back in the day. Oh, the TRs have to be left side, right side, or let's go TRLs, one FH, one left, one right. And it's like, and then people were screaming bloody murders, like, no! Why? Because then the Andromeda doesn't even have to turn around to fight you. Yay! That's why people were freaking, they just went crazy. They went nuts, going, no, you can't do that. But again, you know, this not focus on the failings of the others and how they really didn't understand what the issue with the Andromeda was. While Paul Scott had a clear picture of it, and they should have been listening to him. Because it could have been corrected simply and easily and made it so that the Andromeda, my guess, if we went completely by Paul Scott's idea, it would have been toned it back to two batteries. No. That he, as a top Andromeda player, he might be able to deal with that. I could not. I need three minimum. But anyhow. So let's get back to the offensive potential. Sorry, I keep on getting sidetracked there. But when it comes to offensive potential, let's say two TR heavies. Well, two TR heavies can do 40 points of damage. That's a lot of damage. So he can actually get internals. But the thing is, he has to get mighty close. Mighty close. Range 3. What's the one thing Andromeda's going to do? He's never going to fight a Hydran. Because Andromeda never wants to get that close. Even against a Fed, Andromeda doesn't want to get that close. Because guess why? You got those fully overloaded photons. Because range 3, you're on the edge, man. You're on the edge. You're on the edge because if you get the photons get the one they want you the distance you want to get with the photons is where? Is range 2. Range 2 still gives you some maneuvering room, but you can then your hit increases better than range 3. And the only reason I remember that is because Bill Scheller wrote that up for his Gold Hat article. I remember him, he said it at the very front, the very first thing as a summary. This was my tactics to fight, which is don't use the photons until you get to range 2. Though he did play some other players and he said this, like, he actually used his photons outside of range 2 for at least one of the games. He said, this was one of those exceptions because you don't want to get mighty close. I think it was against a Hydran. Because you don't want to get range 2 to a Hydran. Period. But anyhow, that's why it's like, if range, suboptimal range is 4 to 5. So if... Because here's always the issue with the Andromeda. It's got phaser 2s and it's got TRs. TRs, heavies, the best kind of compromise is like range 5. You're close enough. Your opponent just broke their phaser 1s. So the phaser 1s now have a decent damage. So as an Andromeda player, you don't want to get too much closer if you can avoid it. But the thing is, the Phaser 2s don't get good, don't get better. You know, if 3.5, average to 3.5 points of damage until you get to range 4. So for the Andromeda, the optimum range, really, if you want to stay out of the really close in range, is range 4. Because, yeah, the Phaser 1s get a little more damage, not that much more. And you actually kind of optimize your TRs, period, whether it's a TR, H or TR L. That's where you're going to kind of optimize your total potential. Can you get there? Not always. Because what's the biggest issue? The biggest issue for the Andromeda at that point depends upon what you're firing at. Like when I was flying against the Gorn, well, what's the biggest issue? The biggest issue is the plasma. So what would the Andromeda do? What would I do? What I would love to do is come in, hop the plasma, make sure that my speed's up, you know, it's cranked, you know, full thrust, and go for as fast as possible, jump the plasmas, and then get to the Gorn. Now, here's always the gotcha. Here's the gotcha. You have to guess right because of what's the Gorn going to fire? Any plasma player that's going to fight against Andromeda, what's the plasma player normally going to do? Normally, it's going to do a plasma F and a plasma S. That's standard tactics for a plasma player, period. When fighting against opponent, doesn't matter whether it's Andromeda or not. Well, the question is, at that point, does he want to jump or not? Because here's the thing. I've known some plasma players that what they do, they decide to bolt. Now, of course, bolting is good because then you don't have to worry about running around. But you're forgetting something if you bolt. Bolt is the only reason I would ever imagine you ever want to bolt, really, is to try to push through the panels. Now, in my mind, should you bolt? No. The reason why I don't think you should bolt is that it's plain and simple. What is the plasmas designed to do? They're designed for one thing. As being a seeking weapon, they are to seek the opponent. And because it's seeking the opponent, it's not designed to hit the ship. People playing seeking weapon races forget that fact. It's a scare tactic. The idea is that the opponent does not want to get the damage, and so he runs. So given that he's running away, now what are you using? What's the one thing that you should be using then? Phasers. Beating a snot out of them in phasers. In the case of the Andromeda, what do you want to do with the plasma? Do you want to make it so that the Andromeda's going to do is going to run? What does that mean? His rear panels are facing you. Just keep on bopping them. Chasing him. Have it so that he has an option of either facing plasma, you know, basically running it through, and then you can use their face against his front panels and possibly get through. Or displace to try to get a better angle. You know. So keep that in mind. Now, well, in certain situations, will I bolt? Yes, of course. If you have an opportunity to get through the panels and you got a decent to hit, you know, obviously, you want to be within the glory zone when you do the bolting. But remember that your plasma is a three-turn army weapon, that's why usually you launch, you know, a plasma F and a plasma S, is that you want to always have plasma ready because of, okay, the first turn you launch a plasma S and a plasma F. Let's say it's real, just for giggles. That means in two turns you can have a plasma F ready. And you have a three-turn army weapon. He has a two-turn army weapon. Yeah. So, and of course, with drones, again, you're using it as mobile terrain. You want to use those drones to soak up his phaser power, which means he's going to drain his energy, and sooner or later he's going to go slower. And that's another thing to keep in mind, which is if you just chase the Andromeda, if you want to, you can try this tactic, which is, I understand, it's a difficult tactic to pull off, and you take some discipline. And that is basically, don't fire at him. Just chase him. If you can keep your speed up, and of course, if you can get, he's going to have to, at some point, he's going to have to slow down, just because of the amount of power that currently the Andromeda has is actually kind of weak. And he has to roll those TRs. He has to charge them every single turn. He has to charge his panels. And there's a point where his batteries are going to get down to a point. If you don't fire at him and you're chasing him and he has to keep his speed up, he's going to start slowing down just because of he will be unable to maintain that speed and still have some power available to actually reinforce his PA panels. Because now, this is one thing that has happened to me, which is, if you can, here's one thing you can do, and it will shock the crap out of an Andromeda player. And of course, what's the one thing that people are really hesitant to do against an Andromeda player, in tournament? They're hesitant to tractor the Andromeda because they see those batteries and go, damn, he's got those things loaded. There's no freaking way my tractor beam is going to hold. Yes, but if you chase him for a couple turns, and you keep his speed up, and he's draining those batteries, there's a point, or even if you want to try to tractor him to drain his batteries some more, because here's the thing, he can either drain his batteries to fight the tractor, or if he. Now, here's one way of knowing whether he's desperate. If he's desperate for battery power. If he doesn't use his batteries and he starts using his TR beams for actually anti-tractor work. Yes, he can do that. Is that annoying? Yes, it is. But if he's doing that, you know you've got him on the ropes. That means he ain't got much power. And he's willing to give up his actual weapons. The power that he's putting towards weapons to fight your tractor. Especially when it comes to plasma or seeking weapon races. If a seeking weapon race can actually tractor an Andromedan, the Andromedan's dead. Plain simple. He can't run it away. He could barely beat up on it, but he's dead. So I know it's a crazy thing to do. Tractor Andromeda, why are you doing that? Because they have these large batteries. No, they don't. Remember one thing that Andromeda has to do. What's the one thing that Andromeda has to do? It has to get his energy out of the panels. Now, depending upon the game, as an Andromeda player, you can, if you think you're going to be running fast a long time, and by running fast, you're actually going to drain your batteries enough so that you'll have some room available. What's it going to do? You're going to use full panels, full batteries. And the thing is, here's the thing: the drum doesn't player doesn't have to tell how much power you put into those batteries to begin the turn. Begin the game. But if the drum player guesses wrong, and if he thinks you're going to not be chasing him, he's not going to need to have that much high speed, because he's going to probably displace away or try to displace away to get the additional quote-unquote speed. This means, in this case, speed meaning the number of hexes that actually can move per turn. Displacement device allows you to kind of speed up, per se. Now, so if you can outguess him, he's toast, because of if he doesn't put enough power into his batteries, he's going to be draining. Because there are sometimes I'll actually put only half fill the batteries. Because what do I want to do? I don't want speed. I don't care about speed. I want to go slower. For example, is there any reason to go fast against a wind auxiliary battlecruiser? No, there is not. The fastest drones he can launch are 20-speed drones. And in some cases, I know this goes against some people when it comes to tournament play, is, oh, we're going to rush right in and go headlong towards each other. Why are you doing that? Really, why in God's green earth are you doing that? Why not do a corner dodge? Why not go slowly to the center of the board? Now, obviously, the one reason why you want to go quickly towards the center of the board is because you want to plant your flag. You say, I claim the center of the board. That's fine. But here's the other thing. If you go slow, you stay towards the side. He can't get to you the first turn. Now, in some cases, that's a great thing, especially if you think that, hey, you're fighting against a Hydran. He's going to be at least overloading one of his Hellbores. If you can stay out of overloaded range, you've got a leg up on him. But in some cases, I'm not in Andromeda, or even not Andromeda, I won't go for the center of the board. I'll go for the edge of the board. Why? Because of when it comes to the Andromeda, it's all about timing the battle attack. When it comes to, especially because what's the one thing that you're worrying about? You're worrying about timing when it comes to reloading your weapons. Now, I'm concerned about that, but I've yet to see anyone actually do it for non-Andromedan ships. You know, why are you worrying about the timing of your two-turn army weapon? Obviously, a three-turn army weapon is not that big of a deal in my mind, just because of you have that whole turn which you're running around. But if it's a two-turn army weapon like a Hellbore, why not try to optimize it so that you can fire it and then fire it again as soon as possible? So that instead of waiting, you have to wait for like, what? Let's say 48 impulses. Let's say, what would happen if you actually could fire it every 34 impulses? Well, not every 34, but if you could, for at least one time, you can fire it 34 impulses from each other. So it's a little more than a turn. And you can fire it twice. You got a leg up right there because of, you might be fighting like a Klingon, which can fire once every turn. But now you got, at least for one turn, you got it so that you can actually fire your weapon almost as quickly as the Klingon. It's a little more than a turn. So, you know, those are the things that, as Andromeda players, I'm thinking about is trying to fire those TR beams as quickly as possible, and then of course running away from the seeking weapons, and also don't do something stupid, because I still remember the time I was playing at Origins and I ran over shuttles. I ran over shuttles, and you know what those shuttles were? Suicide shuttles. Boom. Killed me right there, basically. I didn't end the game right there, but I should have. I should have given up right there. It's like, reflecting back on fighting the LDR with the Romulan, that was one thing that I was doing my best not to do, which was to, you know, it's like, you know, you win. You want to win big, and which is what I wanted. I could win right here. I can win right here. No, don't do it. It's too soon. And first time in the Romulan, you know, I went for it, and what happened? I totally forgot that if I came in closer, he's gonna get more damage to me. A heck of a lot more damage. He got probably like 15 points of internals that I could have avoided. I could have been so far ahead of him after the first few turns in that game, he would have to concede just because of my ship had no internals. His ship had quite a few internals. You know? So. But anyhow, I think I'll wrap it up there. I did not get to the Federation. I apologize. But I thought that there was a lot to cover when it comes to the Andromedans, and obviously got a little sidetracked on some of the of non-Andromedan tactics, but still tournament tactics overall with that. Okay? And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.